There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio. I'm not going to say the episode number because we're actually recording this in the past, but this is Paris, and I'm here with Pete.
Hello.
So we're recording this a little bit early. You guys are listening to this on the typical Monday when we put these things out, but just due to travel and everything that's going on, we're getting ready for some stuff that's going to be coming up this week. As you're listening to this, we decided to record this one early. So if the topics we talk about are out of date, sorry, but this is, it is what it is. Matter of fact, let's see. Oh, I just saw that Pete gave Danny a middle finger. Perfect. Woo. All right. Danny, as we're recording this right now, he's up in New York. He's going to be screening the Messengers podcast documentary up at CBS. What was it? CBS Studio?
Yep. At the CBS Studios. Actually, the airing is actually going to be at the Adorama Studios. And it's hosted by Adorama, and you know, it's, you know, shout out to them for you know letting CBS and us do the whole thing.
Nice.
So
nice,
shout out to them.
So just speaking on that, he sat down with Hip Hop Gamer at Hot 97, and they recorded something over there. And then, from what I understand, Hip Hop Gamer went over to CBS Radio Studios with Danny, and they recorded something which you guys should have already heard at this point. That's why I didn't want to say an episode number and screw up the order. We'll see what order these things come out, but I believe this will be the Monday episode. So before we jump too far into everything, remind everyone, go over, check us out, gamertagradio.com. You can check us out at play.it. And Danny, go ahead and play it to let everyone know where they can find us on social media.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Thank you for that. And of course, obviously, you know, you can leave us a voicemail, all that good stuff, which you guys should have heard in the trailer as well. So, Pete, I want to talk about Mass Effect because This one just dropped here in the last few hours. Kotaku, Jason Schreier has this, and I'm just going to read the subject line. Sources: BioWare Montreal scaled down Mass Effect put on ice for now. And basically what this is saying is that the Montreal studio that was responsible for Mass Effect Andromeda has been turned into a support studio. Some of the BioWare Montreal employees have been transferred over to EA Motive, another studio, and they're basically just there to finish some of the last patches for Mass Effect Andromeda, and they're going to just be supporting other projects here in the near future. And Mass Effect Andromeda, or the Mass Effect franchise, has been put on hiatus. Reaction from you.
Considering I haven't picked up Andromeda, this doesn't hinder or help my desire to want to play the game. If anything, it scares me to the point that if BioWare themselves or EA themselves is not confident enough in the title or the release of the game, that says a lot. And this goes back to something we've talked about ever since the doctors and Casey Hudson have left. It's a shell of its former self. And that's a shame because the BioWare tag, you know, essentially just says a lot, you know, like that was a developer that came with a lot of cachet anytime it had to do with a game. Right. And it was, you know, now this being, you know, this being BioWare's opportunity to come back after the doctors have left, after Casey Hudson has left, and say, you know, here's the new Mass Effect, a title that was highly anticipated, for it to apparently have fallen on his face. Can we call it a bust? Like, is this, you know, is this number one draft pick Ryan Leaf bust? Maybe.
I wouldn't call it Ryan Leaf. I'm trying to think of, you know what this is Desmond Howard. This is what this is. This isn't a Ryan Leaf bust. This is a Desmond Howard type of bust, where you are a high first round draft pick, but early on in your career, you didn't do that great. And then later on, you reinvented yourself and became a supporting player. That's how I look at it. That's a horrible analogy for what I'm trying to say. But the point is, as I'm saying it, I go, this is stupid what you're saying, but you keep saying it. Just keep going. No, here's the problem. We've talked about this in the past. You know, BioWare, from my point of view, has not been the same studio since Mass Effect 2, since they got acquired by EA. That was kind of the quote unquote last project that was pre-EA. Since they have been EA proper, there has not been a game that they've put out that I've been truly excited about. And that's a damn shame. You know, Mass Effect 3 ultimately didn't live up to what I wanted it to be. I never got into any of the Dragon Age stuff. We've obviously seen, you know, with some of the KOTOR MMORPG stuff, that never really took off the way that they hoped. And here we are with Mass Effect Andromeda, and we've gone over this already. I'm not here to say I told you so, but it's a damn shame that, you know, I was mostly right about Mass Effect Andromeda, that it just didn't feel right to me. My spidey sense was tingling before launch. I backed off completely. Like I told you guys, maybe it'd be something I'd pick up later on. And I'm just to the point now where I'm hearing this news that, you know, it's going on an extended hiatus. What's the point? Why even invest myself into whatever story that they were telling when EA and BioWare is telling you we're not sure what we're even going to do with this franchise at this point? So from that standpoint, it's a damn shame, man. I love Mass Effect. Like I said, Mass Effect 2 is one of the greatest games ever made, in my opinion. And I think this franchise deserved better. But I will say this, just in a more long form discussion that we can have someday, this is the problem with extending out these franchises too long. Another example that obviously sticks out in my head is Halo 5, whereas now they need to reinvent themselves going into Halo 6. You know what I mean? So yep. Maybe that's the problem. And look, and to EA and BioWare's credit, it's not like they did Mass Effect 3, took a 2-year break and jumped right into Mass Effect Andromeda. We did get an extended break on this franchise. So I think that's why people got excited about it again, to say, hey, you know, they took extended break, they're taking their time, let's see what they can do. And then it's like, wow, this is what we get. We get a half made game at launch and you had all this time to do it. Look, I said it before, I'll say it again. You cannot tell me that something didn't happen during the development time. They started over at some point. There's no way they spent 5 years on this game and this is what we got. No way. I refuse to believe
100%
that.
Agree with you, especially because Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 was done in less time. I don't know if that's because, A, the influences of, you know, both the doctors and Casey Hudson, or was, you know, is Casey Hudson the glue because he left after 3? Is Casey the reason why this floundered? It's just, like I said earlier, it's distressing simply because BioWare has, I mean, up until this, I guess you could have put BioWare up on that Mount Rushmore of developers, right? Like, it could be up there, you know, considering, you know, the successes of the Dragon Ages and Mass Effect, you know, as, you know, titles as a whole. You throw the KOTOR series on top of that, or the whole Star Wars concept, you know, Old Republic, KOTOR, etc. You can essentially put BioWare up on that pedestal of, you know, top devs, and seeing what has happened over the last couple of years, it's relegated to a shell of its former self. It's like watching, I hate to keep going back to football analogies, but it's like watching, you know, a number one, you know, rated draft pick go on to the Super Bowl, you know, to the pros, win the Super Bowl, you know, become successful. And, you know, perfect example, OJ Simpson.
You know what? I got the perfect analogy now. Now that I had a minute to think about it. Mass Effect, the Mass Effect franchise is the Alex Smith of potential. Whereas he was a number one overall pick. He didn't quite live up to expectations, but then he carved out a nice average career for himself.
But here's the thing, and this is why I say O.J. Simpson, because it's gone into the tailspin, right? I mean,
I can't believe we're getting this conversation, but that was post career though. I mean, as a football player, I mean, he was a Hall of Famer.
I guess saying from in general, the whole perspective, you know, from beginning to end, you know, excellent in college, amazing in the pros, got out of the pros, and it's just been a tailspin ever since. You know what?
And I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm about to defend O.J. Simpson for a second. you can't even say his post football career was a tank job. He is the original pitch man from the 70s until, you know, look, he had a 25-year run of being the man, you know, movie star, pitch man, just everything that he was doing. He was literally, quote unquote, the mayor of Brentwood. You know what I mean? Everyone loved OJ until what happened in the mid 90s. So I can't believe I'm defending him. You know what I'll say to people listening? Watch that ESPN documentary on OJ. It's not a 30 for 30, but it's like a 7-hour documentary on OJ Simpson. It's on ESPN. It won a freaking Oscar. That's how good it was. Go watch that. Fantastic, amazing watch. You should watch 2P if you haven't seen it. I'm telling you, it's riveting.
I'll definitely.
It's riveting.
For my flight.
Let me tell you, you'll start watching it and it's 7 hours. You want to watch it straight. That's how good it is. It's amazing. So I know we're way off track here, but going back to Mass Effect and just BioWare as a whole, you know, I look, fair or not. And I'm sure I will get my hand slapped for saying this by certain people, but EA is the problem. You know, I'd posted that little funny meme, you know, in our Discord channel. Shout out to our Discord community. You guys have been amazing, but you know, and it's listing, like, you look at Maxis, you look at Pandemic, obviously, you know, what was it? Westwood. Mm-hmm. Look at all these amazing development studios pre-EA and what they became once they got assimilated into the Borg. You know, all of them have fallen to the wayside. Hell, the only one, in my opinion, that has stood the test has been DICE. You know, because DICE continues to put out quality products, you know, with the Battlefield series. And obviously they've transitioned now into doing some stuff for Battlefront as well.
Tiburon. Well, you got to give a shout out to Tiburon. They've been holding their own all this time.
Have they? I've not touched a Madden game in probably 6 years.
What about NBA? What about 2K? the NBA series. Well, I guess not.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess not. Well, UFC and FIFA.
That's funny.
Those are two things, though. So
that's funny you say that. Actually, this is a good transition point. So, anything else you want to talk about with BioWare Mass Effect? Because I think we need some Miss Leo action here.
Yeah, no, I think it's a shame. Again, you know, them closing the Montreal studio, and I just hope that this isn't a sign of things to come with additional closures. I just hope that, you know, this gives them a chance to regroup and come back into the glory that everybody knows of, you know, everybody's, you know, kind of,
I hope so.
BioWare as, you know, it's just, it's a shame. Unfortunately, businesses have to close from time to time to regroup. And hopefully that's all this is just getting back into the huddle, you know, and, you know, like Favre back in the day or Rodgers, you know, go back and get that Hail Mary and see if they can get to score the touchdown at the end. Oh, we're doing a lot of football analogies. We miss it. We must be missing the sports.
Oh, I know I am. Because Bucks against the Dolphins week one, and we're going to go down there and beat them. Sorry you ain't here, Danny. Oh, well.
I'm going to be going Bucks for that game because I'm not a Dolphins fan. Anyways.
Good.
Since we're talking about EA.
Well, one last thing. I just as far as development studios go, one that's had pretty decent success has been Criterion. Obviously, you know, they went from Burnout, and now they're, you know, pretty much a Need for Speed studio.
Right.
And that's had decent success, in my opinion. And look, I'm not saying that EA is the worst, you know, publisher in the world and they make crap games. It's just you look at some of the studios that they brought in-house and what they did before they were brought in-house, and you kind of compare and contrast, and that's where you see the difference. You know what I mean? So, yep. But again, look, cue Miss Leo.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Now, I can usually tell you things about your future by using the power of my tarot cards. But when it comes to video games, only the guys at Gamertag Radio can give you the E3 predictions. You hear me?
All right, so we're going to kind of start off our our E3 predictions with EA. So we'll start with EA, and I think I'm going to go first.
Go for it.
And I'm going to say that EA is going to show off, since we're talking about BioWare, they're going to show off their Destiny rival at E3 this year, or at EA Play this year, and I think it's going to be freaking fantastic, and I'm going to be excited for it. That's what I think. What about you?
Well, I think we already know what EA is going to be bringing to the table at E3. Like, you know, essentially, it's their EA Play showcase. So we know what we're seeing is Battlefront 2. We know we're seeing NBA Live, FIFA, and Madden. I believe it's Need for Speed.
Yes.
Like a Need for Speed Criterion title. I don't know if they've got an official name out yet. I mentioned UFC earlier. I believe it's coming out 2018, so we might see something there. I'm going to say it's going to be that Star Wars title being done by Visceral Studios that Amy Hennig is manning. Or she came over from Naughty Dog, and you know, she pretty much, you know, she directed that one pretty well. And having her on board gives credence to what, you know, we've seen what Visceral can do in the past. We've seen Dead Space, so we know they've got the talent there to do it. I think we're going to see that Star Wars title. I think we're going to see a two-headed dragon from EA with, you know, riding the coattails of the Star Wars franchise licensing.
What about a three-headed one with the Respawn Star Wars game?
I completely forgot about that. Wow, three-headed Tiamat. Let's do it.
Yeah, because that was going to be my other one as far as Star Wars related. I wasn't thinking the Visceral Games would be the one. It would be, is it Visceral Games? I guess, yeah, it is.
I believe it.
But yeah, Respawn. I was thinking we'd see something with the Respawn game. And just to add on, you know, when I was talking about the BioWare game, and you know, we just finished crapping on BioWare. I think this is part of it. I think EA is also aware of some of the struggles that studio as a whole has had. Mm-hmm. So they're basically condensing efforts into what will be the next big IP for EA, which is going to be whatever this Destiny clone is going to be. And the fact that they delayed it, they obviously see, hey, let's not rush this thing. Because originally they had it, and this came out in the financial call, it was supposed to come out before March of 2018. And now they're saying it'll come out in fiscal year 2019, which means, you know, anytime April 2018 and beyond. So they're going to take their time, which is good. Take your time. Look, Bungie is already giving the blueprint on how to almost screw up a new IP with what they originally did with Vanilla Destiny. So don't do that. Don't do what Ubisoft did with The Division. Just take all the good from both and make a fantastic game. That's what I hope they do. But beyond that, I don't have a lot of faith in Battlefront 2. I think they're going to show us some campaign stuff, and it's going to fall flat. And look, and I'm not trying to be a hater. It's not exciting me. And I just think whatever we see at E3, it's just going to be more of the same.
Ouch. It's disappointing, but I know that they've been working really hard. And I think, and I don't know if it's more because it's the hype of Star Wars and bringing the whole concept of good versus bad, having Janina, I don't want to wreck her last name, but yeah, it's a shame having, you know, seeing everything that's been happening with that. Do you recall what studio is doing that that specific title?
Battlefront?
Yeah. Is it DICE?
Yeah, it's DICE.
And they have the talent there. So I don't know. I like the whole good side, bad side, you know, bringing on Janina Gavankar as the protagonist. For the dark side, really, really interesting. I love her as an actress. I think whatever she's going to bring to the table is going to be rock solid. I just need to see more. And hopefully that's what we'll, you know, we'll have an opportunity to see at E3. But that Visceral title, for me, that is the one for me. I mean, you have to think about it. They've been working on this for how many years now? 2, maybe 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
My anticipation is that it has some kind of a tie-in to the Han Solo movie that comes out in 2018. I mean, you think about it. It's Jade Raymond and her Motive Studio working alongside Amy Hennig's Visceral team. We know what, you know, we're likely going to see them using Frostbite as the engine. So like an Uncharted Star Wars with Han Solo. If you really think about it, that would be an ideal concept. We know it's not going to be 1313, which makes me sad. I don't know. I think they're going to lean heavily on the Star Wars license for EA Play this year.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense. You have it. You know, we know Episode 8's coming out. Like you said, the Han Solo game, or Han Solo game, the Han Solo movie is about to come out. So, I mean, it makes sense, you know, to kind of leverage that this year. But, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what else they got. And obviously, you know, their sports lineup is their sports lineup. And, you know, it's consistent every year. So,
yep.
Anything else from EA?
I know that the title was canceled, but I'd like to see more. I know they announced it, I think it was 2013, 2014, Shadow Realms. Do you remember that?
Yes.
From EA. I'd like to see if maybe they decided, you know what, maybe we'll just pull this up out of the junk pile and dust it off and see what's, you know, see if it has any legs. I'd like to see it, because I know they, you know, they showed, I think, 3 or 4 minutes of the stuff, and it looked pretty cool. So I'd like to maybe see that. That's the only thing I can maybe think of from EA, because everything else from them is pretty standard fare.
Yeah, agreed. It's very, very, you know, because it's like, I mean, just to give you a little insight to us with E3 and our coverage this year. You know, we all registered to go to EA Play. Pete and Danny aren't actually even coming in until that Saturday. So we're not going to be in LA for that time. They're just going to hang out at my house with my family. And then we're going to go up Sunday morning. But after Microsoft, potentially Pete, you may be going over to EA Play.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny and I are a big maybe on that. Last year, you know, it's funny. I didn't even go into EA Play last year.
Yeah. It was me solo.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, and it might be you doing that again. I guess we'll see.
Well, I mean, just because of schedules and the way things are laid out this right. year with Microsoft doing theirs earlier, a whole day earlier or whatever, on Sunday. So that's going to be interesting. I think I'm kind of anticipating it. I want to see what can they do. Do we think that EA Play is going to be the model moving forward for not just EA, but is that you, do we think that that's going to potentially be the model moving forward for developers or publishers going into E3 in years coming? I know you've been saying that we're seeing the death throes of E3 in general, but I think this is a good chance for EA to hopefully step up.
Well, Danny, play the fan mail stuff.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
We have a question. It's actually, this one comes from our fan mail channel on Discord. And this is saying, this is Kamina. She is saying, I have a question. With E3 coming up, I know that a lot of people are backing out. I mean, do you find that E3 has a point anymore? Do you think we should keep it around? I personally always dreamed of going to E3, but lately it just seems like it's dying down. Thoughts? My thoughts are, you are 100% correct. This is going to be such a fascinating E3 for me this year, because I'm just going to be blunt about it. Sure, you know, Project Scorpio's coming out and all that, but I don't have that twinkle in my eye that I normally have, because I do feel like the whole point of what made E3 is starting to die. The fact that you see EA saying, you know what, we don't need to be at the convention center anymore. We're just going to have a weekend event before E3 even starts up in Hollywood, open it up to the public, come check out our stuff, done, pack up the moving trucks, we're out of here before the E3 itself actually starts. I kind of think that is the model, Pete. I do I'm telling you, I've been saying this for the last couple of years now. When PlayStation or Microsoft decides to do the same thing, it is a freaking wrap. It is done. And if you even look at Bethesda, Bethesda is still a part of the convention. They still have, you know, their booth and everything at the convention center, but they're doing Bethesda Land Sunday night. And we went to that last year. That, hey, that was lit. I'd rather go to that than go to
sprinkles and turkey legs.
Yeah. But the point is, they had their own event offsite. They controlled the message. They showed off the games the way they wanted to show them. And then after it, hey, everyone, it's a freaking party. If you want to go check out the stuff we talked about, go for it. Have a blast all night. Yep. That's the model.
Actually, it was In-N-Out, turkey legs, and sprinkles, and booze.
Yep. I'm going to Cabo. I'm going to Cabo, so I'm not doing that this year.
Man, but, you say that every year, and you got sprinkles all up, and then yeah, come on.
I'm going to Cabo. Cabo wins. Sorry.
All right. And Kaimana, shout out to you. Thanks again for sending in the message. And hey, the dream can come alive. It's not like this to those public tickets have been sold out. You can still get tickets. So, you know.
And that's the other. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's the other thing. Those 15,000 tickets haven't even sold out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. And look, we've had these internal discussions to where it doesn't even make sense for us to try and scramble and run around. And Microsoft made it easier this year, so we will go to more of the press conferences. But we were originally talking about sitting out a lot of them and just watching them from the apartment.
Yep.
Versus, you know, in other words, we're there and it's not even worth the hassle trying to run to the press conference. And again, we've been doing this for 10 years. We're old and bitter, so we know how it works. I encourage anyone that if this is your first time going to E3 or you get the opportunity to go in the next couple of years, you know, take full advantage, go to everything. Right. But yeah. I mean, you know, we know how the game works. So we know what we need to see and what we don't need to see, et cetera. But, you know, like I said, I mean, look at Microsoft is even doing FanFest this year. You know, that's another thing. They could easily expand that out and just make it their own offsite event. Just come to us, check out all our stuff. We don't need to be at convention center. And I'm telling you, PlayStation Experience is just looming as a thing that all Sony has to do is just say, we're out, we're doing everything there, and we're all going to follow.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Paris, Gamertag Radio, back with another product review. This time, I'm going to talk about a webcam. I'm going to talk about the Logitech Brio. I'm going to spell it B-R-I-O, their 4K Pro webcam. This is the new gold standard. I absolutely love this webcam. I previously had been using the Logitech C922, which is a 1080p webcam, but this one does 4K and HDR for video recording and doing video calls on Skype, etc. So let's go down these specs really quick, just give you guys an idea of what I'm talking about. Again, it does 4K ultra video at 496 by 2160p at 30 frames per second. It also does full 1080p at 1920 by 1080 at 30 or 60 frames per second. And it also does 720p video, which is 1280 by 720 at 30, 60 or 90 frames per second. This has a plug and play USB-C connector. You can get a full 90 degree field of view, and also with the included Logitech software, you can also do 65 degrees or 78 degrees field of view. It has a 5x digital zoom in full HD. It does autofocus. And the Rightlight 3 with HDR for 4K video recording. And again, doing video calls on Skype. So I've been using this camera for a few weeks now. Again, if you guys have been watching some of our content on Facebook Live, or you've been watching me play Gwent or something on my Twitch channel, I've been using this Logitech Brio. And like I said, I absolutely love it. It is fantastic. I think the big thing with this, again, like I said, if you go watch me on Twitch, if I'm playing in a dark room, it does great lighting just from the camera. Now, it also has an included omnidirectional noise-canceling microphone that I do not recommend if you want to be a high-end streamer. But in a pinch, like I said, if you're just doing a Skype call or something like that, the mic is more than acceptable. But if you want to use this for streaming or to do live video, you're going to want to bring in a secondary mic, which you can attach to your PC and go from there. Now, another feature that this camera has is with Windows 10, you can actually use face recognition to log in. Now, look, I'm African-American. I don't know if it just can't recognize me right. Doesn't work that well for me. I've had issues where it's very hit or miss. I would say I'd have about maybe a 60% success rate logging in using the face recognition. So it's just something at this point I've disabled and I'm not using on a regular basis anymore. But for what this thing can do, the 4K HDR video reproduction, I've done some test videos, uploaded them on YouTube. The picture reproduction is fantastic. Again, if you're looking to be a YouTuber doing, again, just live video things, if you want to be on Twitch streaming, this is the new gold standard for webcams. Again, you know, you look in the past what Logitech has done with their 920 series, and like I said, with the 922, I know that's something that a lot of streamers are using by default. But as we start to get into 4K, this is the new camera to use with that. I cannot talk enough about how fantastic the video quality is. And like, if you want an example, you're listening to this, you're like, well, Paris, what the hell are you talking about? Just go to my Twitch channel, twitch.com/vicious696. Go back and watch some of my videos over the past few weeks and you'll see for yourself that the video quality is great on this. Again, if you're looking to do 4K content, if you're looking for something that can do HDR, the facial recognition is hit or miss. The included chroma with this camera for, you know, putting in backgrounds when you're streaming works okay. I would still recommend, you know, maybe using something, a third-party application, bringing in a green screen if you're going to be truly serious about streaming with this camera. But if you're a professional, if you're a novice, I cannot recommend enough the Logitech Brio 4K Pro webcam. This is Paris. Oh, before I forget, I'm about to run off here and not even tell you how much this thing costs. It is on the higher end of cost for webcams. This does retail for $200 right now. If you go to Logitech.com, maybe if you search online, you can find a deal or something like that. But I will say again, if you're looking to invest into being a YouTube personality or a Twitch streamer, something of that nature, it is worth the equipment investment to spend the $200 for this. I cannot recommend this enough. Video quality is fantastic. This is the top tier now. This is the gold standard for streaming webcams. So again, the Logitech Brio 4K Pro webcam, you can go to Logitech.com, find it over there. Again, it retails for around about $200. I think you can find it on Amazon just a little bit cheaper. You know, again, your choices may vary on that, but cannot recommend it enough. I absolutely love it. I'm probably talking too much at this point. So again, this is Paris, Gamertag Radio. Thank you guys for listening to this review, and I will send it back to the show.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Pete, I have a question for you.
Ooh.
And I've been waiting till Danny wasn't here to interrupt you to ask you this question. So this is the perfect opportunity.
Okay.
I need you to explain to me, what the hell is Player Unknown Battlegrounds? Because I don't know. I really don't. What is it?
Okay, so Player Unknown is a modder from the PC game Arma and Arma 3. They have a you know, obviously PC games are very, you know, they're very familiar with the whole modding concept, and if you've played, you know, PC games, you would be familiar with that as well. So what he has done for Arma 3, as well as helped on H1Z1, which is another PC first-person, third-person shooter, depending on how you're playing, created a concept called Battle Royale, which you've got a room full of people, and in this instance, for PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, it's 100 people dropped on an 8 kilometer by 8 kilometer island. You've got free open reign of the entire island. You're dropped in there. It's kind of like a survival first-person shooter where you land with whatever clothes your character has. So if you want to land there with your underwear and that's it, you can land there with your underwear and an afro. and, you know, just like a gun holster, whatever. You land there, your first rule is either find a vehicle so you can't get shot, or find armor, find weaponry, and then survive to being number one on the island. In order to ensure that people continue to meet up with people, there's some people call it a ring, some people call it a wall, some people call it gas, but it's a blue line or a blue circle that closes as the game progresses, eventually forcing everybody into a small confined area where you have to shoot each other or you have to fight each other. You can fight each other with your hands if you run out of weaponry, or if you've got a frying pan, which is one of the melee weapons, you can hit them with a frying pan. And that's basically it. You can play solo, you can play in teams of two called duos, or you can play in up to four people in your team, and those are called squads. And that's basically it. You're dropped on the island, and it's survival warfare, and it's so much fun. You've got vehicles in the form of boats, motorcycles, jeeps. It's just silliness, man. You get four people, or you know, however many people are in your team, jumping into a match, and you know, survival, you know, to the fittest at that point. And it's basic silliness for the next hour. And I've been streaming this for the past 2 weeks, ever since I got hooked on it. It's become the destiny of 2017 for me, because I have literally almost every day, even on this past weekend, I said, no, I'm not going to play it. I'm going to spend time. My wife decided she was going to take the kids and take off, and I was stuck at home, and I was like, I'm going to play around on Battlegrounds for hours. And that's what I ended up doing. And it's almost a nightly thing now for me, where
how many players online at once?
In the game,
or whatever it is.
Well, in per game, it's 100 people. So once it lines up 100 people, and getting into a match has never taken longer than 10, 15 seconds. Once you hit ready up, and all the people in your group, or if it's just you solo, once you get into the match, you have maybe a minute as the server starts to collect people for your game. And then you're on an airplane, and you're flying over the island. Get ready to jump. And that's it. I think they've sold 2 million. They've gotten $2 million in sales. It's still an early access title, so there are bugs. You know, there's moments where some people get, you know, people have been dropped. Knock on wood, in the 2.5+ weeks that I've been playing, I've had maybe 2 issues. Maybe. And I've put a considerable number of hours into this game so far.
Okay. I'm literally on Steam as we're talking about this right now. $29.99.
Yep. Yeah. And if you're lucky, if it's still up, I think it was Green Man Gaming had, or Slick Deals had a deal for $22 to pick it up. I mean, I've put an easy 40 to 50 hours on, you know, over the last 2 weeks of gameplay. That it's just fast, addicting, fun. Games take anywhere from, if you land and you can't find ammo and somebody shoots you, you know, you're done. You can exit out if you're in solos, or you can spectate and watch your friends. We've had games that have lasted about 45 minutes to about half an hour. 45 minutes is probably your max, because that's as, you know, as that circle compresses and it forces people in, because if that circle passes you, you lose health and you start to die. So you have to turn that, or you have to speed up, find a vehicle and get within the blue and get, you know, on the inside of the circle, or start healing up and hope that you can run fast enough to catch up to that circle. And there's been moments where I've been in a buggy driving down the road, and I haven't been able to catch up to that line, because, you know, the buggy is slower. And there's, once you get to that second and third moment, you know, it gives you a chance to catch up, ammo up, you know, get your bearings. But you can get picked off by a sniper, you know, without even knowing. Like I said, I've been streaming the past couple of weeks. So if you want to go jump over to the Twitch channel and check it out, you're more than welcome. You know, twitch.tv/gamertagradio or twitch.tv/PeteRock, and check it out. It's just a lot of fun. And I know we've been giving you a lot of stress on the Discord channel to join it, but there's a reason for it, because it's just a lot of fun. And if you want, you know, if you need, you know, more reasons to watch, just jump on there. Just listen to us talking and having fun in the game, because things go downhill fast. You know, 1 minute you're having fun. Next thing you know, there's a Jeep full of four people coming in to take, you know, everything that you got. And that's the whole thing. You know,
I know you guys just having fun with me and all that. And honestly, I would have jumped in already, but obviously, stuff happened with me offline. Mm-hmm. I've just been busy, but, I have a question for you and I blame this completely on you. So I don't want any lip back on this. Why haven't you reached out to that developer so they could come and talk about it on Gamertag Radio?
I have no idea. Why haven't you done it? That's an absolutely good reason for it. And I will be reaching out this weekend.
No, because I mean, real talk. I'm listening because, again, I can't pimp out our Discord channel enough. Fantastic community that we're building over there. And I just watched the conversations with you guys talking about it. And yeah, it absolutely looks like a blast. I see people talking about it on Twitter. Like I saw our good friend Season just now. Hashtag PUBG or whatever the hell it's called. Yeah, talking about anybody playing. Yeah. And, I'm like I said, I'm on Steam right now, just kind of looking at, you know, some of the features and everything. It looks like a blast. It absolutely looks like something I want to play. And this is why actually, all jokes aside, I really would love to see if we can get the dev on here. Because is there any talk of a console version of this or is it PC?
There is talk. They are actively working on a port for the Xbox One right now. And that's what they're working on. It's still in early access and it still plays pretty well. It's built on the Unreal Engine 4.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. So
awesome.
They are working on it. I'm pretty sure that I think the dev said, I think his name is Brendan Green. He's working with Bluehole, as the developer publisher, but
you know
they have said that they are working on an Xbox One and potentially a PlayStation, but right now they want to work and get the bugs out on the Xbox One version.
I'm going to call it right now. Another Miss Leo. And I know this isn't Microsoft, but whatever, I'm saying it now anyways. This will be on stage at Microsoft.
Think so?
They'll show it. They'll talk, cause they'll talk about what's the program thing they got. It's like their early access. You know what I'm talking about,
indie,
because
the indie,
that one game last year,
Insider.
We Few Happy People or whatever it's called is in that program. This will be in that too. They'll show it. Watch.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if they will, because, I think you mean, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know if Bluehole is it's a South Korean video game developer. And publisher. I just don't know if they're indie, because their first game called Terra was a massive success. It was pretty popular, and it's been known. It was released around 2011. I mean, in the last 2 months. And correction, they sold 2 million copies of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Not $2 million, you know, in sales. They've sold 2 million copies since they launched in March. So I don't know. I'm going to reach out to Bluehole and as well as Brendan Green and see if I can get them on the show to talk about, you know, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. It's, again, if you could tell from the excitement in my voice as we've been talking about this the last few minutes, it's a blast. And hopefully, you know, parents, if I got to go and buy you the code to get you to get onto the game, I will do that.
Okay. Money bags, buy it.
Right.
There, I said it. That's the only way I'll play it now is if you buy it for me. Only you, no one else.
Okay, so PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
I literally just added it to my wish list. So
okay.
On Steam. But okay, anything else you want to say about this before we move on?
No, that's pretty much it. And again, if you guys are interested, jump onto the Discord channel. We actually have two channels. You know, for discussions, because it's kind of the point where now we've got multiple people talking and, you know, and playing the game at the same time. So, yeah, please join us. If you need the link to the Discord server, please hit us up on either at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Hit us up on the social media platforms. We will more than gladly send you guys a link to join the Discord server.
Right on. So going from that game, let's take a break. And when we come back, Pete. It's Destiny Talk Radio.
back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so as you guys know, listen to this, I'll probably be a couple days away at this point. I'll be going to the Destiny 2 event out here in Los Angeles, California. Matter of fact, I just saw Deej tweeting out a reminder for their Twitch channel saying that, you know, they're going to have this huge blowout, you know, Destiny 2 reveal. They're going to show gameplay, all the first footage, etc. You know, I'm going to get full hands on with the game. I'm going to be able to capture all my gameplay footage, PC version, PlayStation 4 version. You know, a lot of the dev team's going to be there for interviews, etc. So, look, love or hate Destiny. Obviously, you guys know I love it. You know, Pete loves it. This is a big deal. They're Activision is treating this as a huge deal with this gameplay reveal. And I'm really excited for it. But Pete, I'm curious from your point of view, what are you looking forward to? What is it that if you could tell me one thing you wanted me to check out when I'm there, what would that be?
Raids. Obviously that's going to be the last thing that they showcase. Obviously that's the money grab for Destiny as a whole. But obviously, you know, that's where all the fun is at, right? Loot management, how are they planning on refining RNG? Because that is such a positive and a negative for the game. There's sometimes where you jump on and you get what you want. There's sometimes you can play for a week and it's just always eludes you. So if anything, I would say, how are they planning on refining the RNG process to keep people, you know, wanting to keep coming back and not have to keep grinding. Obviously I want to know more about the story, because that was probably one of the bigger knocks on Destiny as a whole, especially early on. And I know through the development of DLC, they were able to reinforce it. But now that they've had an opportunity to see what works, what doesn't work, what are they doing from a storyline narrative for the game?
Yeah, I mean, I would say from my perspective, just speaking on the story, that's the big thing. There is so much lore locked behind those mm-hmm. Grimoire cards that, yeah, they need to get that incorporated better into the game. And from what it sounds like, if you look at some of the hiring that Bungie's done over the last couple of years, they're obviously very aware of it. And, you know, I'll remind people again, you know, go check out My Name is Bife on YouTube. He's fantastic with talking about all this lore stuff that's in Destiny and just kind of, you know, giving you the background of, you know, why the Hive do the things they do, you know, the origin of the Vex, why the Cabal is so pissed off and it's coming back and disabling the Traveler and all that stuff that we'll most likely see in Destiny 2. You know, so I agree. It's got to be the story. If you've looked over the last 3 years, they've definitely been tweaking with the RNG. I would say, believe it or not, my biggest thing is them finding a happy medium of weapon balancing between PvE and PvP. Because look at there's been so many great exotic weapons and things that work so amazing in PvE, but then they have to nerf them because they absolutely shred in PvP. Like the Vex, you know, if you go back to year one, the Vex Mythic class is a classic example of this, yep. Where, look, that is a fun gun to use in PvE, but they had to nerf it because it was just too OP in PvP. So I don't know if that's going to come down to them literally splitting the weapon base to where guns will work differently depending on if you're in PvE or PvP or what they're going to do. But I'm so curious to see what that balance is going to be, because, you know, I'll take it from my standpoint. When I first started playing Destiny, I was just pretty much a PvE player, you know, raids, strikes, etc. And then over the years, I morphed into playing PvP. I play with my son all the time. Matter of fact, we probably play tonight. You know what I mean? So right. It's like, I care about there being this balance now. I'm not just one-sided when it comes to that stuff. You know, obviously elimination of trials, all these fantastic modes that came out of that. So I want to see what they do with that. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they're, you son of a gun. Pete literally just bought me the game, and you know, I was joking. I was joking, and he bought me the game. So I now own Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. Yep. So I guess I got to have no choice, but I could decline it.
I'll think about it.
I just minimize it. I'll think about it. But I want to see how they incorporate LFG basically in game. And like you just talked about the raids, which we know they're not going to even hint at right. at this event. But that's key because, again, if you look at the percentages of people that have actually completed a raid in Destiny, it's tiny compared to the overall population of the game. And part of that is people not being able to get six players. And I've talked about this before, getting six reliable people together to actually do it. So hopefully they find some type of in-game LFG component that actually works. Obviously, I want to see how they're going to handle the subclasses moving forward. We know from the invite that I got that we're going into a world without light. It looks like the Cabal has disabled the Traveler somehow, so we don't have access to light. So my wacky theory, my Miss Leo, is, you know, we're going to embrace the darkness and we're going to get our powers from the darkness. I think that's what's going to happen early on. At some point, we will get access back to the light. And I think at that point, you'll have to make a choice. Do you continue to use your dark powers? Do you go to light? You know, I think the factions obviously need to play a bigger role in it moving forward, you know, with Future War Code, Dead Orbit, and et cetera. So I'm looking forward to that, too. And I see, because my big thing, just talking on the factions for a second, I think the factions could really spice it up for PvP. You know, to make what faction you're a part of actually matter when it goes into PvP matches or even. And see, I don't think they're going to do PvP stuff out in patrols, but they could have more faction specific quests to where there's certain weapons and things that you get depending on your loyalty to a certain faction out in the wild. Just there's a lot of different things they can do it versus what they've done so far on that. So really looking forward to seeing, and I truly hope for a more open world for Destiny 2 so that when I go to Earth, I mean, it's not just this tiny little section of the Cosmodrome where there's just this vast areas that we're encountering. I truly hope they get back to more of what we saw in 2013 during the original reveal when they showed off public events. I want to see 20 plus people getting together to take down a world boss. I think that would be freaking amazing.
Absolutely.
I want to see that. Those are the kind of things I want to see. And I also want with the whole weapon balancing and just the way that this is going to be handled moving forward. And this is kind of why I think they had to just do a fresh start. Originally in 2013, when you got a gun, there would be a story behind that gun. There would be quote unquote legend behind that gun. And you'd be able to customize it and carry it forward and do things like that. So I hope we get to that point where the weapons we get to hold on to a little longer and they actually matter and they're not constantly getting nerfed. And I just got to constantly keep just looking for the next great, powerful thing. I just, like I said, I just want a more overall balance in the weapons. And I want, when I get an exotic, to it to truly be exotic to where it's like, holy, you know what? I just got this exotic weapon. I want that to matter.
That means RNG is going to have to be severely trimmed to the point that if you get an exotic, it's like a golden, it's like getting that Willy Wonka golden ticket, right? So to truly be exotic, and that might be a kicker for people where they don't want to play something like that if the difficulty of getting a specific gun is so high while the benefit is there. It may push people away, but I mean, I definitely see what you mean.
And I get that too. I'll just say this: Outbreak Prime, that type of quest to get an exotic, that was freaking amazing. I love that. That was a fantastic quest. That took literally the entire Destiny community coming together to work the problem. Look, people way smarter than me because there's no way in hell I would have figured that out. So
all that math required, even to this day, if you get a chance to, what is it, the raid secrets? There's some people on there that, man, you got to tip the hat to them because they think way outside the box. You know?
Oh yeah, and I'll say this because again, not to name drop. But I have to in this scenario. I got to play with some of the guys from math class. We did a King's Fall raid.
Right.
And just listening to them talk, I'm like, you people are smarter than me. And I'm just going to try very hard to not screw up while I'm doing this raid because you guys are so smart. But all jokes aside, I mean, just the conversations that they were having, just randomly talking about stuff. I'm like, these are some sharp cats, man. You know, and again, that's the whole cool thing about this community. There's people from all different backgrounds and just different levels that all come together to play this game, man. It's so fun, which, again, I would say for me is going to be the true highlight of going to this event is I'm going to get to meet Bife, Datto, Pope Bear, you know, obviously all the people from the Destiny development team that's going to be there. But just all the big names that are in the Destiny community are going to be at this event, except maybe a couple, like, cause I know Professor Broman said he won't be there. Gathalion said he won't be there. But the point is pretty much the quote unquote cream of the crop of the Destiny community is going to be there. And I will say for the record, I have no business being there. So I am just humbled. I'm serious. I do and I don't at the same time, you know what I mean? But just the fact that I get to, and our more consoles going to be there, all these guys. So it's like the fact that I get to actually talk to these cats and I'm going to be playing the game with these guys. I mean, for me, it is an honor because, you know, when I get stuck doing something in Destiny, those are the people I look to for guidance online. So it's going to be a cool event, man. And then obviously, you know, some of our other friends that we know in the industry are going to be at the event too. So we all get to hang out and it's going to be fun. A lot of fun.
I am mildly jealous.
No, I know, but here's the one good thing that will come out of this, because obviously we all couldn't go, is like I said, I get to play the game, I get to capture footage, I'm gonna get to talk to people at Bungie, and we'll have the summer to talk about this, because I fully expect what I play will be the beta, so I'll kind of have an idea of what the beta is going to be like, and it's gonna be a good time, man. I mean, it's, look, I know Destiny is not for everyone, and I talk about it with the same amount of passion that Pete's been talking about this player unknown battleground thing. But, you know, it's held my attention for 3 years.
Right.
And that says a lot, that even to this day, I still play this game and I look forward to playing the game. You know, the good and the bad that comes with it. It has brought my son and I closer together as far as just playing video games, where we play games together now. And it all started with this game. You know what I mean? So it's like, I get digital games specifically because I was like, oh, I want Trey to play with me, right? You know? And that's a cool thing that we get to take this journey together. He's done raids with me. And again, I'll say this, shout out to Guardian One Clan, which I'm a part of, and Trey is a part of now too. While I was away in Florida, they took him through one of the raids.
Oh,
One of the members. Yeah. One of the members asked me, he goes, would it be okay if Trey plays with us while you're not around? And I was like, absolutely. And even to that point, you know, gave me his phone number, was streaming it on Twitch so I could check in just to make sure. And I completely trusted those guys and I knew it would be fine. But I was like, that's freaking cool, man.
Yeah.
That's the power of that community. And he had a blast. He had fun. And it's a great thing, man. It really is. So really looking forward to it. I'll shut up about Destiny now unless you got anything else you want to add to that.
No, I'm just anticipating the return and the stories and just hearing back, because essentially I'll be like the listeners, you know, hearing back, you know, finding out what is, you know, what it is that you got an opportunity to check out, and, you know, hear your if you have a chance to speak to, you know, to Deej and, you know, all the other, you know, if you meet Cosmo, yeah, tell them, say what's up, Irk and everybody else over there. Just looking forward to hearing, yeah, what you get to check out.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here, man. Really looking forward to it. So I'll shut up about Destiny now. And for doing an episode where we had absolutely nothing to talk about, we've gone over 50 minutes. So I think we're getting to the point where we can wrap it up. So I'll remind everyone again, you know, follow us on social media, at Gamertag Radio, Facebook, you know, facebook.com/Gamertag Radio. And Danny, let everyone know where they can leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. Any last words before we get out of here?
Hopefully I see you on PlayerUnknown's Battleground.
Yeah, I accepted your gift, so yeah. I will be on. I will be playing, and you guys can give me all the grief that you want on there. No, I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. should be a blast. So, all right. With that said, I don't know what exact episode number this is, but this has been another episode of Gamertag Radio. I am Paris. That's Pete. I'll see you guys soon.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.